What's up, everybody? It's Marcus D'Angelo, and we are here live on adfreeshows.com. And of course, we could not do it without the Last Outlaw himself. As Conrad likes to say, the greatest professional wrestler of all time, Double J, Jeff Jarrett. What's going on, Jeff?
Oh, Marcus, you got that almost like Connie. I think he says we couldn't do it without the Hall of Fame.
I'll work on it.
Man, I am pretty doggone excited that you're joining us today. Is this the first time that we've done something on air together?
It is. So I produce your podcast, but this is the first time that you and I have done something. Hopefully not the last. I feel like I've got a lot of questions for the Last Outlaw myself.
You dressed for the occasion like Pittsburgh. No, that around my house all the time. So all good. Karen wore a hat on the way back from Dallas this morning. So all
brother,
good. Ready to get going. I see some smiling, friendly faces from the ad-free family. So let's dig in. I know we're going to be talking some Titans football, that big win.
Oh, got to talk about Titans football, shoes, baseball, of course. We can do a little bit of everything. All right, let's see now. The first one I had, I think, was let's do Coach Rosey. Coach, come on in here, brother.
Okay, wow. Thanks, Marcus. Jeff, it's good to talk to you.
Always, Coach.
Yeah. 2.5 years ago, you started an amazing journey with us over at Ad Free Shows. What was your mindset going into this whole podcast journey from where you started at the beginning to where you are now? Because I've been lockstep on every step in the journey, and it's been not only entertaining but motivational to watch as a 50-year-old guy to see you do what you're doing right now gives us hope. So I just want to know what you thought going into the podcast and, you know, what's going through your mind 2.5 years later from where you're at?
Wow. Coach, why does that not surprise me? You come out of the gate with it's not a hard hitting question, but maybe a thought provoking. This is something maybe Connie should talk about on the main feed, on the podcast. That is a question that I probably could talk about the entire 30 minutes because, the podcast is, it continues to take me down so many avenues. I don't even really know where to start to answer that question, but I think the first thing is the journey has been, in a lot of ways, it has been very rewarding. I'll say that. That's kind of the short Cliff Notes answer. But the unexpected, I don't want to call them twists and turns, but the far-reaching, man, this is going to sound like such a plug, but Tuesday of this week, I was at a meeting that had nothing to do with wrestling. It was shoes baseball related. So off the grid of wrestling altogether, and it became kind of the topic of discussion in one of the meetings to conversation starter, and I listened to it and tell me a little bit about the ad free family, and I got into Top Guy Weekend, and I just kind of went down just the whole road. And then some of you guys know that we I guess it's 3 years in a row we've gone out and spoke at Podcast Movement. And what Conrad is, you know, kind of done, and how it was kind of born out of, and you guys may know better than me. I think it was born kind of out of the pandemic, but just kind of the group of a family and being called the Adfree family. So the journey has been something that totally unexpected, like I said, rewarding. And, you know, when we, I'm a numbers guy like Conrad, but when we kind of get in to the different episodes, and even my pastor at church, he's a super successful, his podcast, I'll plug it right now, it's called The Forgotten Jesus. But you know, they're 30-minute episodes, and it's so different from what we do here. As you guys know, sometimes we're, I'd say, a minimum of 90 minutes, you know, to really get into a topic, but we've done a bunch of episodes, 2.5 hours. I think me and Conrad have hit the 3-hour mark maybe a few times. Those are long winded, but that's when we kind of go in the rabbit holes. But I'll wrap this up because I want to get to other questions. But it's a great question, maybe a great starter question, is because I think it's so much more than just about wrestling. And I always, and this is my inner turmoil, is that Connie's one of my best friends. We chat up about everything outside of wrestling, inside of wrestling. And so I like to, as a promoter, as my grandmother taught me, as my father, but you kind of have to deliver what the audience wants. And sometimes I find myself, okay, I went in a rabbit hole about TNA or WCW. That's kind of one thing that I go, man, that wasn't good content. I second guess myself. And then of course the football talk or the baseball talk or the video game talk and all that. And Conrad just kind of continues to say, hey dude, they kind of signed up knowing what they're going to get. It's your world inside of just let it roll with it. So anyway, I am very, when I first started, I was very, I don't say nervous, but I was very conscientious. And I thought that would subside. I thought, well, I'll get in the rhythm 6 months in, a year in, I'm not going to have so much of that kind of thought. I continue to do that today because I really do. I appreciate every listen I get, every download I get, because you are making a commitment of your time. And that is the most valuable asset that we all have. You know, they don't make any more land. So that's why the value on land is always going to go up, but they certainly don't make any more time. And sometimes we learn that the hard way. So I appreciate each and every one of that's a great question. And it's again, rewarding, unexpected. It's a journey, but it's a lot of camaraderie that goes along with it too. And that's probably one of the things that keeps me coming back.
Well, we'll be there February 7th when you're in Phoenix for Dynamite. I'm really looking forward to being back and seeing you do your thing, man.
Because I had a lot of success last year.
You sure did. You won a battle royal to get in the tag team championship match. And tell Jay we're still pulling for him. That was a hell of a move last night, consoling him, coaching him up into the tunnel. That was classy. And the queen looked beautiful. See you later, Double J.
That's it, Coach. Appreciate you, man.
If anybody knows about coaching, it's Josh. And now we've got another Josh. It's Josh Henney. Come on in, brother.
Hey, how's it going, Marcus? Not Dominic.
Hey, yes, not Dominic, the superior D'Angelo. I appreciate you acknowledging that.
Right on. Right on.
How's Jeff tonight?
Very good, man.
Good.
Got in from Dallas and been working all day and got me a workout in, and then I'm headed over to Cody's amateur wrestling. You guys know Cody. It's a journey.
Oh yes, my son's 15 and wrestling, so I get it.
Okay.
He got to do his first varsity freshman match this last weekend, but he got hurt right off the bat. So I don't think he'll be wrestling for a couple weekends. But he's tough. You met him at Top Guy Weekend. I don't know if he was one of the young guys, but no, it's good to see you again. I just had a couple. I have a quick Titan story for you. When we went to Top Guy Weekend, we stopped in Nashville for 2 days first, went to the Country Music Hall of Fame. And when we got up there, all of a sudden, all these massive human beings showed up to the Hall of Fame. And it was the Titans football team. It was the first and second year players. So that's kind of cool to see. But anyway. We're Bronco country over here, so I'm sorry. I guess my question, just so you can get as many people as you can, do you have any directions or anything with your character in AEW that you want to try or go with? I appreciate seeing you. Last time I saw you was in Broomfield, Colorado against the Hardy Boys in a trios match. So yep. that was lots of fun to watch.
You know, that is something that through the years, I've always got ideas. I'm not saying they're good, but I've always got different ideas. Excuse me. But from the very beginning, in my mind, it has always been the long game. I always try to play the long game. And the long game to me is Satnam Singh. They just, you know, I just a second ago talked about they don't create more time. They certainly don't create more land. And it's very, very difficult to find athletic ability, 7'4", bilingual, a unique talent, a unique dude. So my long game is to continue to develop him, because I just think he's a special person for sure. But I think the development, you know, I often have conversations that he has to watch content because the opportunities to get in ring are just not there like they have been. And you know, the independent scene. You know, we're encouraging, we're trying to develop a plan on that. But as far as my character development, it's being a part of the Sotnam scene growth for sure.
Sure. Coach Rosie just pointed out in the chat, what do you look like with devil horns by chance? Because we're just curious. Just saying. Anyway.
Next question.
Thank you, Jeff. Thank you, Marcus. I appreciate you guys.
Thanks, bet, man. Josh. All right. Next up, we've got Brian Haremza. On deck, we've got Jay Martin. So, Brian, go ahead.
Thank you, Marcus. Thank you, Jeff, for doing this tonight. Really appreciate it. My question is, during the early days, I was a big subscriber. I bought the shows every Wednesday on pay-per-view. When you eventually debuted Impact, you still did some Wednesday night pay-per-views. Was there ever thought of trying to do both simultaneously going forward, or did you know after you got Impact, you had to stop doing the pay-per-views on Wednesday?
Let me jog my brain, because I believe the Fox Sports show started in June 1. I think it was the June 1, and we didn't run our first monthly till September, September. So we kind of knew from the beginning with the pay-per-view contract, and I'm pretty sure we were locked into X amount of episodes from a contractual basis, because we started June 19, 2002. So I think we made the decision to continue the Wednesday pay-per-views up until we got to, because I think we finished at the end of August, and then our first pay-per-view was in the September. I think it was based around continuity, contractual obligations, and then just kind of the build and everything that went with that.
Did you think going to that 3-hour model was the way you needed to go, or did you think you could still do the Wednesdays as kind of like a weekly or bi-weekly thing?
No, we knew that we were going to get, okay, at the very baseline, we weren't going to have two studios, you know, Nashville and Orlando. That's the very baseline of it all. Getting people down there, that was a challenge. Wednesday to Thursday, as you guys are well aware, our budgets were tight. And so a lot of wins, I think, I don't know how many, but we chartered a plane. We did the bus deal. We did a couple of different ways to get down there, but we knew we were getting out of, excuse me, of the Wednesday, Thursday business from a financial perspective on the expenses of it, that, you know, our Wednesday night, we knew they weren't drawing enough to turn a profit, but we wanted to get into the, for the lack of a better word, the 90s pay-per-view model, that the monthly pay-per-views, that we knew we were heading toward that. We had also done Matthew Odie, our international. So he was like OG man. Day one, he started selling the Wednesday pay-per-views. And when we went to that model, he was really excited, because he knew he then had a piece of premium content that set itself apart. The Wednesdays were not premium. They were really episodic. He could sell premium in the international market space.
Okay. No, totally makes sense. Like I said, I bought all the Wednesday shows, so it was sad to see him go, but I was happy to see the Impact come.
You and Grado and a few others bought every. He did. He got everyone.
They were always appointment TV. So
good.
All right. Thank you, Jeff, and thank you, Marcus. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Brian. All right, next up, we've got Jay Martin. On deck is Lopez. And for those of you who are just joining us, if you have a question for Jeff, go ahead and say so in the comments, and I'll make sure we get to you. I know that some of you don't have video or can't actually speak on this. So if you have a question and you can't, go ahead and put it in the comments, and I'll read it. Looking at you, Andrew Hermes, get in here. Ask me a question. All right, go ahead, Jay Martin.
Y'all hear me okay?
Yes, sir.
Okay, cool. Double J, it's real good to see you, man. I'm glad you survived the storms. I also had a power outage pretty bad. I'm probably an hour away from Nashville.
Okay.
It was rough. Yeah. I'm glad you're okay. Had you, in October 97, I think you returned to WWF.
Yeah, correct.
Had, when you cut that promo and said all the great stuff about Stone Cold and the direction the company was going, maybe like the next week, had you had the Don't Piss Me Off character, like maybe like sooner rather than the Aztec Indian and NWA stuff. I believe that would have been a top program with you and Steve had it just been, you know, pretty soon after that promo. And because you was really hot when you left in 99. So I was wondering if you had your take on that, maybe if you had that sooner.
If you kind of look at that promo, that was essentially, Don't Piss Me Off was amplified, the guitar. I'll say it was a little bit more of a character base. The reality base was that promo. And, you know, we've talked ad nauseum on My World that going back to the Double J character or trying the Aztec Indian deal, those were all, you know, they were out of the mold of the WWE. The reality-based character was that promo, and obviously that's what I was hoping to dive into from day one. That got derailed. You said I said some good things about Stone Cold. I think that I'm not sure that is 100% in agreement with all parties involved. But no, I loved that direction that character was going. It was so different from, to me, anything I'd ever done. It certainly wasn't the Double J character. It wasn't what I was doing in WCW and the Four Horsemen, all that. It was, you know, a thread of my character, reality-based. If you kind of look at what I did with Ric Flair last match in that, there's a lot of similarities there. Anyway. Yep. Thanks, man. Good question.
Thank you. Y'all have a fun weekend. Well, yeah, I work 4:10, so my weekend just started. So I'm gonna watch my Raiders get killed. So
there you go. Tighten up.
See y'all.
Hey, bud.
Thank you. All right, Lopez, you're up next, and then Phil S is up next.
Hey, thanks, Marcus. A couple quick hitters, and then a question with some actual substance. First and foremost, if I could ever find a girl to look at me the way Coach Rosie looks at Double J, I'd be a happy, happy, happy man. Jeff, I don't know if you see behind me, you see my Conrad tattoo that I got there. I try and keep it kayfabe for when he gains and loses weight. I try and gain and lose weight in my leg so we can keep it, you know.
Yeah, the game. Yep. Okay.
quick question about Nashville. It's quickly becoming one of my favorite cities. I drive by and stop every time I go down to Huntsville. I'm from Ohio. What do you think the new stadium's going to do for business development in the city down there? It looks super exciting. The project, if it comes out the way it's looking, is going to be spectacular.
It's going to be off the charts. Part of my baseball meeting was kind of about the from Bowling Green to the 65 corridor, Bowling Green almost to Huntsville, just kind of the explosion in everything. Commercial, retail, residential, townhomes, apartments, the economic growth across the board. It's booming. And I just think it's going to take the not just really Nashville, but I'll call it the Middle Tennessee region to another level. If you're really familiar with the roads, I mean, you know, the 840, the big outer loop, I think you're just going to see the growth. And we're kind of poised right now. We're having traffic issues. It's going to continue to explode. That's the short answer.
Okay. And just one question on a little more serious note. As somebody who's dealt with substance abuse issues and has quite a long time sober myself, I want to know what you were feeling after getting sober and continuing to go on the road, having to make substantial decisions in your first year of sobriety, that pink cloud, issues coming your way that maybe you weren't mentally or emotionally prepared to deal with or cope with as somebody that was in the business and somebody having to make big decisions. I just want to get your thought process on how you work through that and remain sober.
Before I got sober, I always at least tried to live by the six P's. Proper planning prevents piss poor performance. For insane reason or the obvious reason, I didn't always attribute that to my alcohol situation, but no, good answer. I mean, good question. My straight answer is real simple. I game planned legitimately every hour of the day, sometimes every half hour of the day, no matter what my travels. If you remember in my first year of sobriety, I went to England two or three times. I did all kinds of things. I started with WWE the following Rumble. So, you know, but to this day, I still do that. I just saw, I think I shared with Conrad, I don't know if I've done it, but there's a fascinating article out right now about Eminem and his sobriety and how he deals with things. And he's very, very regimented, scheduled. I've always been somewhat that way, but kind of lost my way for a few years there as far as schedule. But even in my darkest days, I was still a pretty regimented dude. I just think there's a lot of payoff in that. So planning, plan your day, game plan. And there's, if you can come up with the reason why not to do that each and every day, no matter what, everybody in this call listening, I'll call it an excuse. There's really no reason when you go to bed at night that you don't really at least have a pretty good game plan. And if the game plan is I'm doing nothing, that's a plan.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you. Thanks for a couple minutes.
Yeah, but I appreciate you.
Thanks, Lopez. Next up, we've got Phil S. and then Matthew is up.
Hey, Marcus. Hey, Jeff. How are you guys today?
Hey, bud.
Hey, man.
Hey, good. Actually, I enjoyed that last question of sobriety. I myself am 14 days sober today. So,
right on, brother.
So I'm actually at a treatment center right now, Skyping in. So,
oh, good.
So it's definitely a better outlook for 2024 for sure. I guess just one question. Actually, two. Sorry. The first question is, what are your thoughts of Impact switching back the TNA original logo and calling themselves TNA again?
They and Marcus maybe can chime in on the episode, but I think when that first came out, it's fine. The short answer is, what took them so long? That is really my candid answer. I believe when they went from TNA Presents Impact as a TV show, that ran through, 2010, 2011, when they dropped TNA and it went to Impact and Impact Wrestling and Impact Ventures and all that, you lost your audience there. And so I think it's been very, very difficult since that time, in a lot of ways, but, I'm excited to see where their version of TNA is. We'll see. I do think my thought, that's my short answer is I just think, and this has been pitched a couple of times to those guys through the year. So I'm excited to see where Scott and the crew take it.
Oh, perfect. Excellent. Like I said, and also we're thinking of maybe going heading to Nashville. Any tips if you do end up in Nashville? Any sightseeing? Because my wife always wants to go to Nashville. She says that's one of her favorite spots. So.
Oh, buddy, it's a party town, so you better be planning for damn sure.
Yeah.
There's a lot to do here. I don't know your different taste and interest and all that, but there's plenty to do here and great restaurants. The food here, man, it just continues to amaze me. But figure out what you like. Great music. Anywhere you go, there's a lot to do.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thanks, man. Good luck to you. Keep on keeping on.
Thank you.
All right. We got Matthew next. And then I know we're trying to get out at something like 6:30, maybe 6:35. So let's get Matthew and then Martin. We'll see where we're at on timing.
Oh, Jeff, how the hell are you, buddy?
Hey, brother. How you?
I'm good. So it's a privilege to be on here with you, literally talking to the man who's got more hits with his guitar than Chet Atkins.
There you go.
Probably knocked out more people than the Nasty Boys' armpits. So, question is, two parts. One, who is your favorite person that you've ever hit with a guitar? What's the best shot that you've ever laid in on somebody?
Oh, man. I've Beetlejuice is up there. It's still being talked about to this day. If you take it out of context and show that to a non-wrestling fan, they give me the craziest looks in the world. Fabulous Moolah is definitely right up there. When you kind of get into to the, I'll call it the regular shots of different guys, Sting, we reminisced about that. I'd love to know a stat. There's a guy who runs a Twitter account, JJ's Guitar Hits. I'd like for somebody who's been hit the most. I think Sting's got to be right up there at the top, but I'd have to say Beetlejuice, Gary Coleman, and Fabulous Moolah would maybe be the great trilogy.
All right, fair enough. And second part, so past, present, living, or dead, if you could pick one person you haven't got to lay out, who would it be?
Oh, man. Because that's a wide net, because obviously it doesn't have to be a wrestler. Who would that? I mean, that's a good one. Who should I crack with the guitar? I'm trying to think. An athlete. Jesus, who would it be? If there's sports fans on here, I don't see him on here tonight. I was going to say, get the Buffalo Bills quarterback, get the Kansas City Chiefs quarterback, get anybody the Titans quarterback. I don't know. In the past, that may be, you know, one guy I don't think I ever got was Lawler. You know, wow. I think a Jerry Lawler crown would have been a nice one. So we'll leave it at that.
Hey, that's a perfect answer too. That is it, buddy. Thank you very much.
Thanks, man. Appreciate you.
No problem.
Okay. I think we've got time for one more. It's going to be Martin. Before we get to Martin though, Josh just pointed out to me, Coach Rosie just pointed out, we got to pay respect to Frank Wycheck, who just passed away, the Titan. Man, what a shame. Jeff, I know that you had a relationship with him, right?
Yeah, we'll talk about that on the pod. It is, I can't say enough about old Frankie, man. You know, I think a lot of people forget that he retired from professional football at 32 years of age. I even lost sight of that. So, in a lot of ways, he legitimately gave his life to the sport of football. So he loved it, lived a passionate life, all that. We were great buds. Gone way too soon, but, you know, Frank had struggles like all of us. So he's in a better place. So we'll definitely talk more about that.
Prayers up for Frank. Martin, let's get the last question.
Martin, real quick, you look dapper, and it is 11:30 at night where you're at least, right? 11:30?
Yeah. I'm on my way home from a Christmas party. So.
Okay.
It's all good. How are you?
Good, Martin.
Good. It was a quick question, really, basically about I'm coming home from a Christmas party. I wonder what life was like in WWE around Christmas time and how that compares to now you're in AEW. Is there a bit of a festive get together, or do you guys just not see each other?
You know what? And that's evolved through the years. Just this past Thanksgiving, I was telling my youngest daughter that, man, I've wrestled on Thanksgiving night and day. You know, there was a time back in the USWA era that I would literally leave my house at about, I don't know, probably 9 a.m, drive 120 miles plus to Jackson, Tennessee. We would have either a 2 p.m., 3 p.m. show, and then drive back to Nashville for an 8. I've wrestled twice on Thanksgiving a couple of times, and then, you know, at the WWF, I've spent some Thanksgivings on the road. But holidays, you know, you always kind of look forward to, ironically, the week before Christmas, because that's when basically things shut down. We always did our, whether it's our last Monday Night Raw or the Superstars taping or whatever it may be, a Nitro on that Monday-ish, and then you could, wherever Christmas fell, you got off. So it's something that, you know, when those tapings I could remember, because very rarely do you get 4 or 5 days off if the dates fell right. So kind of the same. It's just the business. It's a unique time of year, because traditionally Christmas Day all the way through New Year's Day is the holiday tour, and it is something that has been successful for generations and generations. And it, you know, that goes back to the 50s. It's something about wrestling and you know, it just works. So good question, Martin. Good to see you, my man.
And that is going to wrap us up this time, Martin, guys.
Oh. Go one more, Marcus. Go one more, unless you don't have another one in the queue, do you?
One more. Let me see. Who do we have? All right, somebody speak up. Show me. Show of hands.
I didn't know if you had one more. I was trying to.
I think that was the end of it. But if there's somebody right now who wants to send a message, go ahead and just say question or cue, and I'll get you in there. You've got 10 seconds.
I just always try to get a little bonus here. That's cool. No, you did a good job there, producer, in keeping it time. So,
thanks, man. And I'm thankful to you for joining, and very thankful to all the members who jumped in here with us today, man. Always a blast. And we'll catch you guys down the road.
Appreciate you guys. I get this opportunity on the pod. I don't do too, but Ad Free Family, happy holidays, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, be safe. Don't do anything that I wouldn't do. You can do anything that Connie would do. No, kidding. seriously, guys, happy holidays. Appreciate you joining us.
See you guys next time right here on adfreeshows.com.